You, my friend, are listening to the Happy Hearthstone. This episode is brought to you by listeners just like you. I can't thank our patrons enough, but I'll give a little bit of a shout out to my friends Alex B., Rich M., Matt Jans, Max Carnage, Nick Patrick, Forrest Bates, Matt at Arms, Trey H., and Robert Y. Thank you guys so much for supporting the show. You can do so too at patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone. And by Humble Bundle, there is an insane deal on Humble Monthly this month that includes Destiny 2. I'll tell you a little bit more about it later in the show. Hello and welcome to episode 121 of the Happy Hearthstone, the longest running Hearthstone podcast in the history of space and time and cards. I'm your host, Andrew Brown, and this week I am so thankful to be joined by my dear friend, you. What up? How you doing there, friend? You having a good day? Yeah? That's pretty cool. Are you actually talking back to me or not? Can't really tell because of this whole recording thing, but I do hope that you really are having a good day. In case you're not, maybe this will be a little bit of a bright spot. I love getting to do these episodes and can't thank our patrons enough who are making this possible every other week. This used to be an every other week podcast, but because you guys have come out in drones to support this show, I'm honored that I get to come here every single week and produce some great content for you guys to help you improve your game, stay focused on the things that really matter, and hopefully add a little bit of a good, positive flavor? I guess flavor is the word I'm looking for, to your day. So I'm your host, Andrew Brown. I'm really thankful to be here. Though we haven't had any huge shakeups in the Hearthstone world in the past week, we do have a few things to talk about that'll be really fun. And I'm really excited to talk to you guys about my experience on the ladder because it's been a different month for me as far as the games I've played, how I've split my time between formats, and I just wasn't expecting to have the month that I'm having. So really excited to be with you guys. Of course, we got to kick off this whole show talking about why I'm happy today. And I'm really happy because this has kind of been a week of getting back at it for me. So I can't remember if I've mentioned on the show or not, but I've been trying to instill this morning routine to my life. And it's been really tough because for the past month, my goal has been to get up at 4:45, which some of you guys will like vomit a little bit in the back of your throat when you hear that. Others of you are like, man, get on my level. I've been doing that all my life. Or I don't know. I don't know where you find yourself. But for me, it's extremely early. I mean, I would consider early typically like 6:30 or something, which my daughter will sometimes get up then. So I kind of have to. But waking up at 4:45 has been like insane-o. I never thought that that would be possible. But I read this book called The Miracle Morning, or maybe it was The Morning Miracle. I think it's The Miracle Morning. And it really talked about how to create a morning routine, and it really inspired me to try it out. So it's been several weeks now that I've been doing it. This past week, however, was really not good. I think I hit one day out of all seven, and that's an all-time low for me since I started doing this. But this is the beginning of a new week, and today was a day to kind of get started with that. And I'm really excited to just meet it with a new vigor. Is vigor the right word there? I'm really not doing well with my words today. But this morning was great, and I'm really looking forward to every day from here on out. I don't know if this is something that you really consciously think about every day. I know it's sort of a trite thing to say, like, every day has new possibilities and all of that. But the reality is that you never get to choose what happened actively anymore, right? You get to choose what you do today, what your mindset is today, the things that you do today. And you can either live in the past and say, oh, because of what I've done, that means I'm only capable of doing this or that. But that's really a fallacy and a very limiting belief that a lot of us get caught up in. I know I've done that for most of my life, honestly. So instead to think, you know, okay, I had a rough week at something that I wanted to really be intentional about. But today, as I'm going to bed, I'm going to do some different things to kind of get myself in the mindset of waking up. And I'm going to do that every day this week. I actually had a counselor, who speaks into my life a bit. And one of the things I remember him saying when I started going early on is that he never makes long-term commitments. Actually, I guess that's not exactly true. New Year's resolutions. He never makes resolutions like that. He's been married to his wife for like 34 years or something. So yeah, he makes long-term commitments. But as far as resolutions, it's not like I'm going to, you know, do this thing for a year or for, you know, just an insane amount of time. Instead, what he decides to do is every night as he goes to bed, he decides that he's going to wake up and make the decision for that day to do that thing. And what he's committing to is 365 days of one-day commitments, if that makes sense. So so that if for some reason something pops up that kind of kicks him off the horse, he can get back up to it. It's not, oh man, I broke my resolution, so I'm done for the rest of, you know, the 6 or 12 months or whatever you committed to. It's, yeah, I missed that yesterday, but today I get to choose it again, and I'm going to choose it with more resolve than ever. So that was a really messy way of saying that. I hope it still made sense. But that's really encouraged me so that, you know, I had a rough week in that corner of my life, but now I can do it again. So also I've been slowing down and speeding up at the same time. So part of what I've been trying to do each day is really slow down. One of my close friends here told me that every time he holds his kids, he thanks God for his child. And I thought, man, that's really good. I mean, I love my daughter. I think about it often, but I don't necessarily like create a heart of thankfulness in the moments that I have with her, if you know what I'm saying. So I'm really trying to do that a bit better, do the same for my wife, and just for the life that I get to live, no matter if, you know, the parts that are difficult or the parts that may not look exactly the way I want it to. I have way too many gifts to not live in a heart of thankfulness. So trying to really instill that and slow down a bit, but also speeding up. I'm trying to get more aggressive about some goals. So I'm sort of doing some side hustle things to create some more possibilities for a family. Actually, I'm working with some guys on some authors on helping them with their books and marketing their books. So this is kind of a new freelance thing that I'm trying out. I know that I've got the skills and I can help them do it, but I haven't specifically helped authors with that before. So I wasn't planning on talking about that, but we're talking about why I'm happy. So this past week, during some evenings when normally I would be too tired to work on pretty much anything and just zone out and probably, you know, play some Hearthstone or watch a movie with my wife or something like that, I decided, you know what, I'm going to get aggressive. I've got to do some work to help these guys out and to really get us on the right track. So I did that, and it's been good. So learning to slow down and speed up in the areas where it's most applicable. You guys are getting like the ultimate behind-the-scenes look at Andrew, so I hope it's encouraging. I don't know what goals you have in your life that you haven't achieved yet that you really want to grow in, but just want to encourage you. It's possible. You just need to get realistic about what you want to achieve, how you can achieve it, break it up into manageable chunks, and really push yourself to try things that you haven't before to get there. So I think it was Benjamin Franklin who was quoted in saying, in order to get results you've never gotten, you have to be willing to do things you've never done. And it's very true. So if there's something that you want to achieve in your life, there's something you want to do, you have to be willing to say like, okay, since I've never done that before, I've got to arrange my life in a different way so that it's possible. Because if I don't, it won't be, I'll keep producing the same results that I have before. So yeah, that's why I'm happy. It's weird how there are moments on this show where it almost feels like it's a psychology show. I never intended that to be the case, but a lot of feedback I've heard from many of you is that you really enjoy just being, I guess, a bit focused on how to live your life outside of the game. I hope you'll reach out and let me know if that's true of you or not, because the feedback I get is what I try to instill. If you guys are liking something, I want to keep hearing that so I can keep doing it. If there are things that you don't necessarily like about the show, I hope you'll speak up. I won't take it personally or anything like that, but it'll help me to craft things a bit better and focus on the things that really matter and that you guys enjoy. The show is all about you guys anyway, so I hope you'll reach out and let me know if you haven't, what you enjoy and what you don't. And speaking of what we enjoy and what we don't, we got to talk about the news, because there are game balance changes coming. And this has really created quite the scene in Hearthstone. So I think it was Dina Yala, otherwise known as Ixar, who went out on Twitter to respond to some people who were saying, like, hey, we haven't seen you guys really talking much with the community lately. And he came out in drones to really just say, like, hey, yeah, we do care. Here's what we're looking at. You know, obviously very vague about specifics and stuff. Well, the next day after he said that on May 7th, the Hearthstone Twitter account said, we've been avidly reading your feedback and monitoring data. We agree with your concerns and are planning some balance changes after the HCT playoffs are finished at the end of May. We'll provide an update once the specifics are finalized. So we've kind of been sitting on that for, what, a week now? Yeah, we had just recorded the episode, I think, last week when this was announced. So we're at the tail end of that. There's a lot of speculation about what this could mean. I would very much anticipate some changes to Paladin and Warlock, especially. But there also have been talks about Quest Rogue and how that feels still. And who knows? They usually tend to pull one balance change out of nowhere that no one really expects, but kind of makes sense after you start thinking about it or looking at it. So we are waiting with bated breath to see what they have to say. I've seen a lot of friends saying that, hey, this is crazy that you're trying to balance things because this is the most balanced meta we've ever had. Other people are saying, you know, finally Call of Arms is getting changed or something with, I mean, you could change like 500 things with Warlock. That was actually the video I put out for patrons of the Happy Hearthstone this past week were my predictions about what could be changed for Warlock. So if you haven't checked that out, you definitely want to go do that. But yeah, I mean, all of this is speculation at this point. Hopefully we'll hear from them soon about what those changes are. But I really appreciate how they're letting us know something's coming and yet at the same time holding back until the competitive scene has a chance to kind of shake out. We had the summer playoffs. Was it summer? I don't remember. I feel like seasons are always off for Hearthstone and with other sports things, at least as far as my brain thinks of it, because I think in terms of school, which has been most of my life. Probably you too. But it's nice to have at least a little bit of a preview that something's coming, even if we don't know quite what it is. It seems like Blizzard gets negative feedback no matter how they announce something or what they announce. So, you know, they got lashback on this one as well. But I really appreciate how they're giving us just enough to kind of wet our whistle, get us anticipating what's coming while at the same time not being there. I'm of the mindset that I think some changes will be good. Though there is a balanced meta, like there is not one deck that is just completely obliterating everything, I do think that there are some tools in the Paladin and Warlock arsenals that are a bit too powerful, specifically in how they feel when played against you. I think this kind of leads to an interesting discussion that I am not prepared to have on this show. Maybe this is something I can do for the next solo show. I feel like we talk a lot of philosophy and like big level stuff on this show, but this might even be too big. I'll offer it to any other podcast who want to talk about it too out there. Or for any of you listeners who maybe want to come on the show at some point, this could be a topic potentially, although this is a really heavy one. What does the perfect meta look like? So many different opinions on the answer to that question. So nuanced. I don't even know how to talk about it in big terms, but it kind of does beg the question, what does the best meta look like? It means that things are balanced. It means that things feel fair. You still have to have powerful cards because powerful cards are what kind of makes the game fun. The fact that you can turn, if everyone's just playing Chillwind Yeti stats every turn, that might be fair and balanced, but it's not fun. There isn't crazy stuff happening, you know? So you need some level of crazy. You need some level of RNG because that kind of makes the game unpredictable, but you don't want it to. So hopefully you're smelling what I'm stepping in here, that it's just a tough conversation to have. But I do think that there are probably some things that can be tweaked that I'm excited to see what they have to say. Who knows? I would love to hear what you're anticipating, or I hope by the time this is hitting your eardrums, they haven't announced it yet. But I wouldn't be surprised if we see something in the next week, 5 to 9 days probably of what those changes are going to be. So definitely be watching on Twitter. I'll try to offer some hot takes on there. But I anticipate Blizzard always does a really good job on these things, and they're able to make quick adjustments as needed. This is a pretty fast adjustment since Witchwood was released almost exactly a month ago. So this is right about in line of when Frozen Throne was released, and Druid was just insane. And so they made changes to Spreading Plague, and I feel like there was one other. Maybe Spreading Plague was the only Druid nerf. But Spreading Plague is still played, so that was probably one of the best nerfs they've done. So yeah, that's all for the game of Hearthstone right now. For the United Hearthstone League this past week, I came up against my good friend Jordan Lingo, my apprentice. You fought valiantly, my dear friend, but the dragons reigned supreme on this one. So if you weren't able to catch that, you really should go to twitch.tv/UnitedHearthstoneLeague and watch that match. If you scroll through, you'll find week 3, Andrew versus Jordan, I think, something along those lines. And I worked hard to create some decks with my friend Sean Smoker on Twitter, who is the Dragon King. He helped me make an all-dragon lineup that was a lot of fun to play. You definitely want to go check that out. Jordan had the experience that I've had several times, which is when you just never seem to draw what you want, and it ends up being a match that doesn't feel great. So I feel your pain, Jordan, and I know that you're going to bounce back from that. So I, you know, Jordan has come out with some really creative decks so far, and you know, he said it right after our match that I think he's wanting to get more competitive. So it'll be, he's a fantastic player. He's just been putting all of his mindset into creating creative decks rather than the ones that are going to be most killer. So I'm excited to see what you got, man. We'll definitely be working together to make each other better for the rest of the season. So go check that out. This week, I'm going to be up against Pear. Now, some of you might remember Pear. She was on an episode of the Happy Hearthstone right before we swapped over to the Witchwood. And Pear is a streamer. She has not been part of the United Hearthstone League, but because of kind of some match changeups and stuff, we had a member leave the league. She was invited to come and be a part of it, and I'm really excited that she took on that mantle. She's going to do a fantastic job. But Pear, if you're listening, I'm coming for you. I'm not going to let you start out this league easy, okay? I know you're hungry for a win right off the top, but I'm going to bring my best this week, okay? So we'll announce that on Twitter. It'll be a great match. She's a fantastic player, so really excited for that. Okay, let's take a quick sponsor break. One of the big things that I've always got to tell you guys about, especially on these solo casts, is about the Patreon, because it's the entire reason we're doing this. So if you haven't checked it out in a while, or you've never checked it out, it's time. And if you've been putting it off, it's time. Go check it out. Patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone. You're able to support the show by donating any amount starting at just $1, which all of us can afford a dollar. And you might think that that might not make much of an impact. But here's the reality. If you do, and then another person does, and another person does, another person does, by a lot of people giving just what they can, it starts to add up and create more momentum. And I had somebody actually ask me this once when I was thinking about how my life couldn't make much of an impact. He looked me square in the eye. I'll never forget this. And he said, Andrew, if everyone lived their life the way you did, would the world be a better place? I was like, whoa, that's pretty aggressive. You know what I'm saying? Because it's really easy to think, well, I can't do much. But the truth is that we just have to offer ourselves. So I really want to challenge you. If this is a show you love, if you listen to it every single week, go check out the Patreon and see how you can support. With just a dollar, you get those shout outs. You can get early access to episode. $5 is a great place because you get the exclusive weekly or blog content that I'm coming out with. I'll be honest with you guys. It's a lot of work to put that stuff out. But I really believe in it. I really want to help you guys out to get better at the game and to just say thank you. And I feel like that's the best way I can say thank you, is by continuing to create great content for you guys. So if you go on and pledge that $5 a month, you can start getting that weekly content immediately, which is pretty cool. So definitely go check it out. And we are only $14 away from the next goal, which is really exciting. I decided to shift it up just to kind of create some momentum. So we're only $14 away from launching a Happy Hearthstone Discord. Now, I know a lot of you guys are going to say, like, Andrew, Happy Hearthstone Discord should have happened like 5,000 years ago. Well, yes and no. Here's the thing. Discord takes some upkeep. It takes some work. It seems like it could just be a really easy way for community members to connect. And in some ways it is. But in other ways, there's a lot of admin work that has to go into just making sure that things are where they need to be, guiding discussions and stuff like that. Again, these goals are a great way, just like these weekly podcasts were a goal, to just say thank you to the community and to say, hey, you're helping me to create more margin. I'm going to give that margin right back to you. So again, only $14 away from creating the Happy Hearthstone Discord. I can't wait to get there with your help. And I don't want to like over sponsor a show, but guys, this month's Humble Bundle, we have to talk about. So you guys know Humble Bundle has been a great sponsor of the show. And they have these monthly deals where they come out with a bundle of games that you pay $12 for up front and you get access to a very limited part of that bundle. And then at the end of the month, they'll reveal to you basically the rest of the bundle. It's anywhere in the neighborhood of $150 to $200 worth of games. So it's like, you know, you get your value just way beyond what it's worth. And you get somewhere in the neighborhood of 8 games or so total, but it changes every month. One of those games is like an exclusive that's developed by them or an indie developer that they've kind of partnered with, which is really cool. But they always lead out with some big name that when you decide to purchase it, you get instant access to. And this month's instant access game is Destiny 2 for $12. If it were just Destiny 2 for $12, I'd say you got to go and get this. But this is just insane. You get that immediately, and then you'll get all the other games at the end of the month. So I've kind of spent enough time talking about sponsored things. But seriously, this is too good of a deal. I'm going to go get my own in the next week or so. I can't wait to bust into Destiny 2 because I've kind of been putting it off for far too long. So if you want to do that, go to thehappyhearthstone.com. You can click on the show notes, and there's a link in there. You'll be able to support the show with your purchase, and it's a great way to support the show by doing that. You get a great deal on games. You get to support the show. Come on, this is like a win-win-win here. So low-hanging fruit, go check it out. Okay, let's talk about Hearthstone. So you guys might remember that I decided to play Wild this month. So I've done that. I haven't done it exclusively. Let me talk a little bit more about what I was feeling. This past month was a really rough one for me on the ladder. And, I was doing my normal things of tryharding, playing highly competitive ladder decks, trying to, go through what I was seeing and what would do well against that and making adjustments on the fly and all the normal stuff that I do. It seemed like I could never make anything quite work. And I don't remember exactly where I think I got to rank 3 at the top, but nothing was being consistent for me. You remember, I played a lot of Spiteful Druid, played some Even Shaman that worked for some reason. I still don't quite understand. But I just decided, okay, look, I have tried so hard on the standard ladder and I'm not getting the results I want. I really need to disengage and try something different in order to just get myself back on track to enjoying this game, doing well, and figuring all that out. So far, what I've done is I've probably split my time in half. Overall, I'll tell you that I have played far less Hearthstone in the past couple weeks, or I guess since the 2 weeks since the beginning of the month, than really any month in a while. But the time that I do spend, I'm much more calm and relaxed when I play. So even just the decision to go back into Wild, I think I started at like rank 16 or 17 because I hadn't been working it up or anything like that. So I think I fell a couple months. And at some point, I guess I was rank 5. So it's just taken away a lot of the pressure to perform because for my sake, Wild has kind of been like a breath of fresh air that it was like, oh yeah, I remember all these crazy cards and decks. And there are so many more decks. I was even just looking at a meta breakdown today for Wild, and there were somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 decks or so that were, I don't know. Many of them I hadn't even given much thought to in a long time or ever or heard of before. So it's just exciting because you really don't know what you're going to run into in Wild. But I did remember something about the grind from 15 to 5. It's a very different game at those levels. And some of you who maybe your best is 15 or 10 or somewhere around there, you're really going to feel this. And for those of you who are in the upper echelons all the time, you know, 5 all the way to legend, you need to remember this, especially for your friends who might be a bit further down, is that those ranks, you really need to play aggressively to have a chance. If you try and play slow, grindy decks, there are a lot of people who just get so hyper aggressive that you don't have a chance, and unless you try to fight fire with fire, you know. So so my time on Wild so far, I've really been playing the even shaman that Reno Jackson, the Wild player, if you're not familiar with him, hit number one legend with, which is a lot of fun. I don't know what it is about Even Shaman that I enjoy so much, but I just do. So back off, because you're not going to change anything. I'm not saying you are. but that deck was fun to play with. But I realized I needed something that was even more aggressive than that to kind of match what I was seeing. So Cream Puff from the Top Deck Kings podcast came out with an Even Paladin list that is fire. It is really good. And it plays two Murloc Knights. If you've forgotten about that card is fantastic. It's a 4-mana, 3/4 Murloc that reads Inspire, summon a random Murloc. Inspire is the keyword, if you're unfamiliar with it, that triggers every time you use your hero power. So on Even Paladin, where your hero power costs 1, on turn 4 you can call to arms, and then turn 5 you can play Murloc Knight and hero power. It's just insanity. If you're frustrated with Even Paladin on Standard, don't even bother with with Wild. You've also got Nerubian Eggs and other stuff that is just super, super powerful. So that deck is really, really crazy to play. And then also I've played a lot of Secret Mage. This was a list made by Bananaramic, and that's been really, really hot too. It's very similar to Secret Mage before Witchwood hit, where you've got the Cabal Crystal Runners, a Cabal Lackey, you're playing some Potion of Polymorphs just in case things get crazy. Forgotten Torch, if you forgot about it. As from League of Explorers, 3-mana, deal 3 damage, and then you shuffle a torch into your deck, which is a 3-mana, deal 6 damage, so a 3-mana fireball. There's just so much damage in that deck. It's really insane. I played against a grindy druid the other day, and I had exact lethal, even though they were like about to outrun me. I was really lucky. I had a torch, a fireball, frostbolt, and ice lance. That was a lot of damage in one turn. So those decks have been really good to me. So here's the thing. I for some reason one day was just like, I feel like playing control mage in standard, and I'm gonna beat some fools. And I got on, and I won 4 games in a row and got to rank 5. I have no clue how that happened. Because for all of the insanity that I've been trying to work through and figure out standard ladder, Control Mage is not some kind of meta breaker deck, but it just worked for me for this crazy streak up to rank 5. So I can't necessarily recommend it entirely because it's got a lot of bad matchups right now, unfortunately. But if you are coming up against, you know, a lot of Paladin, it has a ton of board clears that can kind of get them crazy. If you get Frostlich Jaina, then all of a sudden you're pretty much getting a Water Elemental on board every single time. I'm pulling up the Vicious Syndicate report because we'll talk about it here in a bit. It's saying that the best matchups for Big Spell Mage right now are Taunt Druid and Odd Rogue. The Paladins are good, and Control Priest it can do well at. The thing is, if you can hit Frostlich Jaina, and then you've got a lot of... That kind of sounded bad, didn't it? Thing is, if you play Frostlich Jaina, then your long-term value out of getting health back is just so insane that a lot of the aggressive decks won't be able to keep up. The trick is lasting until you get there, because they can kill you pretty fast if they have, you know, just an insane hand. But that was fun because I've never felt necessarily like Control Mage was my jam, but being able to get there was great. And then I saw that my good buddy Ridiculous Hat over at Coin Concede hit Legend with his own version of Hadronox Taunt Druid. And so I decided to start playing with that. And I got to tell you guys, it's been pretty good. And here's the thing. This past week, we'll roll into the Vicious Syndicate report from this. Their meta breaker last week was Control Warlock. And so a lot of Control Warlock has been played lately. In fact, out of the past five matches I've had on the standard ladder, three of them were Control Warlock. Not Q-Block, but Control Warlock. Which is, you know, Void Lords, and Possessed Lackey, Rin the First Disciple, really trying to just destroy your deck and outlast you forever. Couple reasons Taunt Druid does so well against that deck. For one, they're able to cycle through their deck very quickly. Taunt Druid, though it's not an aggressive deck, is trying to get through things so that you can guarantee Hadronox on the board. You can get your Witching Hours. You can cube the Hadronoxes. And so so it's not, the Rin thing really isn't too much of a threat as long as you get the right resources in your hand. And the other thing is if you get, what's the maximum? Isn't it like five Hadronoxes? Actually, okay, so you get the one and kill it, and then you revive one, cube that, so that's actually three because you activate the one by killing it and then you spawn two more. So seven Hadronoxes you can have throughout the game. It's pretty, pretty crazy. So even though Control Warlock is really good at outlasting a lot of decks, that's one that they can't really outlast because they can't come out with infinite cards, which Taunt Druid can. So Taunt Druid's worst matchups are things like Murloc Paladin, Even Paladin, because they just get so fast in Quest Rogue because that's such an aggressive combo deck. And even Cube Warlock is showing up as a negative for that because that combo can get out of hand in the mid-game as well. Taunt Druid wants to go to the long game so that it can just win. But in the mid-game, if it wasn't able to get to the right resources fast enough, then the other decks can kind of snowball and kill it pretty quickly. Other things to look at in the Vicious Syndicate report. Well, Murloc and Even Paladin are still good. Cube Warlock is still really good. There's not a ton to talk about as far as those things. Spell Hunter and Big Spell Mage, interestingly enough, are eking right above the 50% win mark. So neither of those are necessarily bad decks. They just haven't hit their stride. And Spell Hunter, interesting that it's really finding some staying power without the Barnes Yashiraj high roll. I think that that really was just taking advantage of an insane mechanic that made sense in that deck. But now Spell Hunter is going straight up, completely spells. And so seeing a lot more of a reliable win condition with that. So I think it'll be really interesting to see if and how Spell Hunter evolves through this next year. Because again, we have two more expansions to see Roch Dalar and To My Side have some more support from other spells. Though, I can't remember the name of it. The four mana deals four damage, but if a minion died, it's only one mana. I think it's like Wing Blast, something like that. Though that was a very valuable spell, it just doesn't do enough, I think. And, you know, if we see one or two more spells that do a couple really heavy, powerful things, Spell Hunter could really be a force to be reckoned with, especially if Paladin and Warlock are getting some balance changes that really take them down in power. Spell Hunter is something to watch for sure. And I think it's really interesting. Spiteful Druid, you know, still doing so well. It was interesting to look at some of the statistics from this HCT tournament because there were a couple people who brought Spiteful Priest and it just did not perform. Spiteful Priest right now is a tier 3 deck according to Vicious Syndicate at like a 48% win rate. It's just really interesting with how powerful that was beforehand that now take out the Draconid Operative and the Netherspite Historian and that list just is not doing nearly as well. Still a good choice if you're seeing some Tempo Mage or some Control Warlock, but Tempo Mage is not stealing the ladder anytime soon. Although if the Control Warlock is happening, those Dust Breakers can bust through all of the little Void Babies that may pop up. So good stuff here from them. Their Metabreaker is just kind of the tier S decks. Even Paladin and Cube Warlock are super, super powerful still. So no surprise necessarily that they're really tipping their hat to those two decks. It's more, I would say that if you think like me and you're trying to figure out what beats decks, the hard thing is that even Paladin and Cube Warlock are so powerful that it's hard to high roll higher than those decks high roll. I hope that made sense. It's less about countering their thing and doing something that's even more powerful. Spiteful Druid's another one that has done that, but not quite so much as Call to Arms can push out, or Possess Lackey and a Dark Pack can push out. So yeah, those are really the hard decks right now. And honestly, why I'm a bit more attuned to some balance changes coming down the pipe than maybe some others. Looking at the Tempo Storm meta snapshot from this past week, Cube Lock is sitting at the top of that, followed by Control Warlock, Even Paladin, Quest Rogue, Control Priest, Murloc Paladin, and Spiteful Druid. So Cube Warlock, no surprise to anybody. And Tempo Storm especially, their panel that creates these, they have been very, very favorable towards the Warlock class. And it's obviously not without reason. We knew Warlock would be powerful before, and sure enough, it still is. Really good choice if you're seeing a lot of Paladin on the ladder, especially with Cube Warlock, because you're able to combat their early game and be able to fight back quickly with some other combos. Though Control Warlock will still do the trick. And Control Warlock, they actually have with a 55 and 60% win rate against Even and Murloc Paladin, and then a 60% against Cube Lock. So Control Warlock really might be a good fit if you're seeing a lot of Paladin and Lock on the ladder. Interesting to note that Tempo Storm actually puts Spell Hunter in tier 3 in their list. So they only give the breakdowns for different class matchups to the top two tiers, so can't necessarily see why they're thinking that it's so low. Again, I think it's just a list that's kind of off people's radar. So if you want to surprise some people with a strong deck, it might be a good choice for that. But it's not actually going to get my recommended have a happy time of the week list, because you can probably guess that my gut and my experience is saying the Taunt Druid is the way to go. I haven't had as good of a run. And again, I kind of have to temper it a bit because I've only played 6 games in Standard over the past week. But having a 5-1 record on that is really good. I forgot to mention, the only loss I was up against was an Even Shaman who had Hex. Hex is devastating against Taunt Druid because all of a sudden Witching Hour is very much muddied. Your guaranteed Hadronox is now a 50-50. Or maybe a 33% if they've hexed 2, which for that game, it had hexed 2. So it did bring back the frog. And then my second Witching Hour, of course, brought back another frog because it was even more likely to bring that back. So, but the fact that I've been facing up against so much Warlock, if you're facing that also, man, I can't recommend that Taunt Druid list enough. And I do like Hat has one copy of Ultimate Infestation in here. I know that I know Zalay didn't have Ultimate Infestation in his list, and I played that list for a while. It didn't work as well for me. I do find that there are times when my hand is pretty empty, and so Ultimate Infestation makes a good reload mechanic. But 2 feels like a bit much, so I really like his inclusion of just having the 1 and having the Ferocious Howl, the 3 mana gain an armor for each card in your hand. There were many times where I had like 20 or 30 armor with a full hand, and my opponent just couldn't do much because I had been playing stuff like Oaken Summons and Ironwood Golems and stuff and just shutting him down. So it feels like a super strong deck. I can't recommend it enough based off of what I've been seeing. But this is a time, again, like I said, to do the high rolly stuff. So I would also recommend the Even Paladin or Control Warlock variants if you have the cards for those. Taunt Druid, it seems like, is only going to get more powerful. And I kind of wonder if they're going to need to change the balance on Cube or Witching Hour because of this build at some point. But of course, it's too early to say. We'll have to see how the changes shake up in the next week or so. So that's all I got for you guys in this week's meta breakdown. Let me know what you thought. I want to hear what you think. What are you seeing? What's working for you? I'll give you all the links and everything in a little bit. But first, we need to talk about our community section. We've got an iTunes review here by Corey Watch, who is a new friend who reached out to me. His iTunes review's title was five different emoji signs. So it was the 100 sign, which is one of my favorites, fire, heart, the okay hand, and a monkey. I can't read into it too much, but I like all the ones you chose, man. So, and he gave it a 5-star review and said, I love the Happy Hearthstone almost as much as I love Hearthstone. That's a lot, BTW. So, Corey, thank you so much. Corey's actually one of the new patrons for the show also. So, man, Corey, you did that. You did the patron, you left a review, and you reached out and just told me how much you enjoyed the show. Like, that's just an explosion of encouragement. So I really appreciate all of your support, man, and for doing that. I can't tell you guys how encouraging it's been actually lately. It seems like there have been a few listeners here and there who maybe have listened for a while, but for the very first time are reaching out and just telling me what you enjoy and how much you look forward to the episodes. That seriously is gas in my tank. So if you guys have not done the iTunes review yet for the show, please go and do that. Takes a few minutes of your time, but it makes a huge difference when people are looking for the show. And that is the number one place that people go to look for Hearthstone podcasts. So going and doing that is a really big deal. That's why I read them out every episode. Go make it happen. I'm sure there are many of you listening right now who are telling yourself, man, I've been meaning to do that for weeks now. Please just find the 5 minutes this week. Set a reminder in your phone. Pause this. And then tell Alexa or Siri or your Google Assistant to remind you at 8 p.m. tonight. Or maybe it is 8 p.m. I don't know. Just find some way to remember, because it really does make a big difference for the show. Okay, there's a card of the week we need to talk about. And I don't know how I pull these spoofs out of my hat. I actually thought about this. It's like I'm the bad Hearthstone version of Weird Al. Actually, Craig of Canada on Into the Wild is way better than me, but I still try and put forth a good effort for you guys every week. And I don't know where they come from, but I guess the spoofs find me. I don't find the spoofs, you know, but here you go. And I actually do need to start this one out with sound effect. Boom, 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 boom. I summon a minion you really shouldn't have yet. 'Cause you built your deck with only two dang spells. Tyrantus is what you really wanted. But you got a sea giant, and that's okay. I see you mulliganing your hand away and getting back a double 10 drop spell. Now it's turn 6 and you top deck the card that doesn't really do anything. And though the value is lean, you might as well spite. It's just a 4-4, but you might as well spite. Okay, that's what I got. Were you doing the background noises for me? I like to think that you were. I don't know. Spiteful Summoner is obviously what we're talking about here. 6-mana 4-4, battle cry, reveal a spell from your deck, summon a random minion with the same cost. You guys know this card because it's been around for a while, and it was one that was kind of sneaky when Kobolds and Catacombs came out. I think it was in like the final reveal stage or something like that. But very quickly, people started creating decks around this variant. The whole idea is if your deck only has one spell and two copies of it, there's a really good chance that you could draw your Spiteful Summoner beforehand and really high roll. And as I mentioned in the song, obviously, Spiteful Druid is crazy right now because you've only got four different minions to summon with a 10-cost spell. Tyrantus is the high end and Sea Giant is the low end. 4-4 and an 8-8 for 6, by the way, not too bad. So you really can't low roll against that. I really wanted to bring this up because I was looking through, if you guys haven't seen this yet, Wicked Good created a Tableau report. If you're unfamiliar with it, it's like a kind of a data engineering platform that's it can do some really complex things in a very appealing way visually. And he created a breakdown of all of the decks from the HCT Summer Championship in North America. And I was interested to look through and see what were the most used cards out of all of the decks that were brought. And all of the highest decks, there were 48 people who brought a copy of Kel'Seth, Greedy Sprite, Serenite Chain Gang, Spiteful Summoner, and Ultimate Infestation. So it was really interesting to see that. Not surprising, because those are very powerful cards, obviously. But Spiteful Summoner has kind of gotten this this really interesting rep. So, you know, I think Spiteful Druid obviously has been a big end. Spiteful Priest was big with Free From Amber and Mind Control, though I guess since some of the tools have been removed from that, it's not quite as insane as it has been in the past. You know, I was thinking about all the different archetypes that are possible. I know my good buddy Red Knight came out with a Spiteful Summoner Zoo list that ran Twisting Nethers. It was really interesting. That wasn't like a hugely meta deck. He was doing fantastic with it. But thinking about all of the other classes, there hasn't really been like a widely accepted paladin necessarily that uses it. I guess Mage originally, well, we have seen some lists with Pyroblast that are trying to run it. Warrior, Pyro Warrior actually was running it with copies of the Spellstone. So that was kind of interesting. Shaman hasn't ever really seen it widely used. Jordan ran a pretty cool list this past week in our UHL match that was using it. The one list I really couldn't think of ever using it was Rogue. Have you guys ever seen a Rogue that uses Spiteful Summoner? Even Hunter, I remember playing a list that ran Call of the Wild for UHL. I guess that was just a fun UHL deck that did pretty well though too. So that wasn't really widely accepted. And now Call of the Wild's out. So here's what I was thinking about doing for the show. And I'm interested to see what you guys think of this. I would like to put out a challenge to you guys to see if you can create a Spiteful Summoner deck with Rogue or Hunter. Because I feel like those are probably the two most underutilized, or like I haven't really seen anything in that vein. I did see the Call of the Wild for Hunter, but I'd be interested to see that go. So let me know what you come up with. Throw me a tweet at Andrew's Living, or send me an email, thehappyhearthstone@gmail.com, and let me know what you come up with. And in the next episode, I might feature your deck as an answer to this challenge. So again, use Spiteful Summoner in a Hunter or a Rogue deck. And let's see what you come up with. I'm really excited to see what that is. So unfortunately, that brings us to the point in the show where we close things down and where I remind you of some of the most important things about this show. Like, oh, I don't know, you're the happy Hearthstone. This show is all about you guys. So it exists for you. It's sustained by you. And I know I haven't put the call out in a while, but I hope you guys know that it's always an open invitation. If you've ever wanted to be a co-host on this show and co-pilot an episode with me, I would love to have you on. We just need to talk and schedule it out. So it's as simple as just emailing me at thehappyhearthstone@gmail.com, or maybe reaching out on Twitter, and I'll go through and get you in line. We got some great people coming up, so I'm excited for that. But if you've ever wanted to do that, really want to encourage you that it's a great way to support the show with your time, and also a lot of fun. I love having different people on the show to just engage with, talk about wacky, crazy stuff. But of course, there are many other ways to support the show, like leaving a review on Apple Podcasts, not iTunes. Dang it. One of these weeks, I'm going to get it right. Going to the Patreon and supporting us monetarily. You can go get that Humble Bundle that I mentioned, and that will support the show also. So there's so many different ways to support the show. I really want to encourage you guys. to just jump in. I know that those of you who have been on the show or who are supporting on Patreon, even who gave your time by writing a review, like those are all sacrifices, and I don't take that lightly. But we have to take time every week to just remind you guys of how big of a deal that is. And because when all of us are doing our little piece, it really makes the show far greater than I ever could make it on my own. So I'm so appreciative of those of you who are doing any or all of those things. And for those of you who will be doing that this upcoming week. So thank you in advance. And of course, as always, I have to give a huge shout out to the producers of the Happy Hearthstone, Jordan Lingo, Red Knight, and Risen. Thank you for supporting the show at the level that you do. You know, I was trying to think of a creative way to thank you guys for supporting at the level that you do, and I noticed that Jordan Red Knight Risen spells out J-R-R, which are the initials of a little author, an independent author known as J.R.R. Tolkien. So I was thinking, like, which of the Lord of the Rings characters do these guys remind me of? And so I came up with some thoughts. So, Red Knight, you are Frodo Baggins. And I hate to lead out with Frodo, because that's a big one, right? But seriously, dude, you have got a fierce spirit. You are persistent. No matter what is holding you back or making you or giving you resistance, you keep pressing forward. Really respect that about you, man. And so I think that is truly the heart of Frodo, of, you know, not giving up under any circumstances, but always continuing to push for something better. Risen, you're a man of few words. You have, like, done some insane things on the ladder and legend and all that. So I feel like you are a man of few words and a lot of wisdom, talent, gifts there. So I have to say that you're a bit of a Gandalf to me, because you choose what you say very wisely, and yet you're just unreasonably gifted. So that's who you are. And Jordan, my goodness. Well, if your memes have proved anything, you know how to have a good time and how to have fun. But the truth is that you are there to fight and support and love on people when they need it. So I think that you are the perfect little blend of Merry and Pippin of the group as well. So you do such a great job to create levity and to create enjoyment, while at the same time being somebody who is in for the battle as well. Those guys weren't just sitting on the sidelines the whole time. So there you go, guys. That's who I think that you are. So if you haven't checked out thehappyhearthstone.com yet, please go do that. There's a ton of stuff on there, and I'm working on a free download that I'm going to send to people who have signed up for the Happy Hearthstone newsletter. It's really simple. Just whenever I make any kind of post on the website, you'll get an email the next morning just letting you know. So if you enjoy the content I come out with, that's going to be the best way to stay up to date with those things, and you'll get a free download in your email at the end of the month. I'm really excited to create that. So you just go to thehappyhearthstone.com. You'll see it in the lower right-hand corner to sign up for the newsletter. It's really, really simple. There's also links on there for our Google Plus community, which is booming and fun as ever. You can also find me on Twitter at Andrew's Living, or the show at The Happy HS. And you can find links to my Twitch, which is Andrew is Living as well. You can subscribe and support the show if you've got an Amazon Prime account. You get one of those each month. And if you're not using it, I would really appreciate that as a little tip in the jar. So, and you'll get the Anchamp emote. Come on. Have you not seen that? I'm making the face right now. Can you see it? Oh yeah, this is an audio podcast. Never mind. And also, if you're interested in my musings on faith, you can check out my personal blog over at scaryfaith.com. I'll be posting a blog post this week that I've been working on for that. So really appreciate you guys. So thankful to get to do this. So thankful to get to be with you. Are you having a good day? Is your day a little bit better from talking about the meta and the positivity and all that kind of stuff? Okay, that's good. I'm not sure if this leaving time for you to talk is a good idea, if it's just entirely too awkward. It's probably a bit awkward, but I'm okay with that. Well, hey, thank you so much for visiting the Happy Hearthstone and having a little fun with us. I'll see you next time.